Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and happy freaking New Year to you. It's New Year's Day, so what a better time to talk about health, because y'all know that you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, if you listen to that anymore, the podcast ads outside of Fine Food Freedom, of course, we do not accept any diet culture ads. But basically, you turn on any media and you're going to see the diet culture bullshit of New Year, New You everywhere, talking about health, talking about wellness. And so I want to hold space for a couple different things. One, you are allowed to want to better your health. With that, please know that health is not a moral obligation. You do not owe the pursuit of health to anyone, especially from somebody who shames you into it. And so let's like hold space for all of this today, because there's just so much I want to get into. And I want to share, I'm going to share a story about a recent doctor's appointment that I had. I had a physical like 2 weeks ago, end of the year. And I wanted to fit everything in before the end of the year, because we met our out-of-pocket max last year with C-section and NICU baby. So mama had all the appointments. I digress. Anyways, we're going to talk about my lab values that were out of normal range. We're going to talk about medical weight stigma. We're going to talk about how to actually improve your health and what behaviors can be a part of that. And so we're going to get into all that today. But before we do, I do want to start with a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. If you're an OG with the podcast, you've heard these before, but I love to share any wins that I get in the DMs. Sometimes it's from people in our online community that I've never met with or our team has never met with. Sometimes it's clients that work one-on-one with our team, participants in our group coaching, members in our membership, listeners to the podcast. So I want to hear from you. I'm encouraging you right now, if you're listening to this, to pull out your phone, follow find.food.freedom on Instagram if you don't already, and send me a DM of how this podcast has changed your life, if you had any aha moments. Would love to hear from you. But this one comes from a client that works one-on-one with one of our providers, Maya, who is a dietitian on our team. And this person had DM'd me, told me she was working with Maya, had incredible things to say about her. So then I shot back with, hey, if you're open to it, can you share any aha moments with me that you've had in session? And this is what she wrote. She said, I think there's probably too many to recall off the top of my head, but really my favorite things about her are how good she is at holding space for whatever thoughts, feelings, etc. that I have in any given session. I've been all over the place with my intuitive eating FFF journey since starting in January, and she's always been so patient and understanding with me. She brings humor and levity when appropriate, but also is calming and reassuring. I like when she gets, air quotes, philosophical, and she has great metaphors for all the things we discuss. I appreciate her and her knowledge and our sessions so much. Thank you for sending this in. Anytime I read messages like that about our providers, I get so freaking excited, because we have such an incredible team of registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors. And the majority of people have no freaking idea that they have health insurance benefits that cover this support for free or extremely low cost. The majority of people, though, have free coverage. So get your insurance benefits checked, because you could be sending me DMs like that in just a few short weeks of if you get that support with our team. And I always tell people, this is not like a long-term commitment. It's not like if you get your benefits checked, you have to work with somebody for, you know, the entire year. Although this client, how incredible, they've been working with our team for a year now. But if you're just someone, let's say you're on our social media page and you engage with some of our content and you're like, okay, I like this part of intuitive eating, but I'm really confused about how XYZ is incorporated. Use the session. Like, pick a that is so incredible. It's so insane to me that like you might be able to meet with a dietitian 100% free, and you can come with all of your questions and your obstacles and your struggles and anything and just pick their brain. And it doesn't have to be this long-term commitment. Although I will say the majority of people we meet with love to come back. And that's on our incredible providers. So you can click the link in the show notes to check your insurance benefits. You can go to bit.ly/FFF insurance and or go to Instagram, TikTok, any of the socials, and you'll see that link there. Okay, so let's get into today's conversation. I want to use my personal story to kind of like kick off where my thoughts were for this episode. And then I want to get into more of the medical weight stigma and also some things that like what actually impacts our health, because I think it's a very timely conversation with it being January 1st and the new year and all this kind of stuff. So a few weeks ago, I went to the doctor. I had my annual physical. And I got a ton of blood work done. Like I got my CBC panel, like, you know, everything under the sun, hemoglobin A1C, all the good stuff, which I'm a nerd, obviously, when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I love it. So I got, before I had my physical, I got an email from Quest saying, hey, like your blood work's in, take a look. And I was like, it's all going to be normal, right? And I opened it up and I saw that my total cholesterol was high and my LDL cholesterol was high. Now, I to set preface to this as well, I am 7 months postpartum, actually 8 now. And when I got the blood work done, though, it was more around 7. And so I, you know, it's one thing to just keep in mind here, because in the early postpartum time, it's really normal for your cholesterol to be elevated. But also, like, my PCP, my primary care physician, was hesitant to even do blood work less than a year postpartum. Your body is still regulating up to 2 years postpartum. So honestly, I take these numbers with a grain of salt as a medical professional. And I'm like, yes, they do give us insight to our health, right? And what's going on inside our body. And my body just went through insane shit this year with a C-section and giving birth in general. So let's keep that all in mind. And I say that because before I had the baby, I had talked to my PCP about this of like, hey, I do want to do my blood work before the end of the year because we met our out-of-pocket max and I'd prefer it be free versus waiting until January or March and now we have to pay. And she was like, yeah, no worries, no worries. She's like, you know, things might not be normal by then, but sure, why not? So I preface that this was discussed previously. Now, I want to loop this in with the day that I went to my physical. You know, I'm kind of sitting in there. First of all, they make you wait so fucking long at doctor's offices. And that's one thing I want to like just bring in here and preface with the Find Food Freedom team. When you have an appointment at noon, our dietitians are logging on and letting you in from your virtual waiting room at fucking noon. I do not understand how every medical appointment that I go to in person, people are so late all of the time. And that really grinds my gears. And especially when you're paying so much money to see these providers. So like when I think about how our care is not only free for so many people, but we actually respect people's time, mind blowing. Okay, I digress. I'll get off my soapbox. So I'm going into this appointment and I'm like, I know my cholesterol is high. She has met me multiple times. I've told her that I am a registered dietitian. And usually I tell people I'm an eating disorder counselor because I don't want them to have like their preconceived notions of what a dietitian does. But when I'm with a physician, I usually do like to play the registered dietitian card because I like to play ball and I like to see how they react. I like to see how that makes them treat me differently. And yeah, I like to play. So she opens up the blood work. She was over an hour late for our appointment. So I know she did not take a peek at my chart before coming in the room. She did not look at our notes from before I had the baby when we scheduled this, saying like, oh, you know, blood work might be out of normal range. We're still not even, when I did the blood work, probably 6 months postpartum, and now I'm seeing her in the 7 month postpartum. So she comes storming in, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 whatever. I understand that if you're a physician or a medical professional, that like, it's not your fault. It's like the facility's fault, right? Of like over scheduling and all of that. But it's still, as the patient, you're just like sitting there for a fucking hour. I'm getting hangry. Anyways, so she comes in, she opens up, let's go over the blood work, blah, blah, blah. Oh, high cholesterol. Oh, well, and then this is where I just played the like, yes, it was high. You know, I'm newly postpartum. And she goes, yes, well, diet and exercise will fix that. These are the words, will fix that. And this is where I didn't even want to engage in this conversation at this point. So I just said, I'm a registered dietitian. And I, like, again, I hate when I do this, but like, that means whatever that means to her. She probably thinks I help people intentionally lose weight, which clearly I don't. So I let her think what she wants. And I just say, I have a pretty good understanding of what I want to do with these numbers and, or like how I want to approach this. And I'll ask you if I need any assistance, or I don't know what the fuck I said in the moment. And she kind of just like brushed it off and was like, okay, great. She was like, we'll recheck in 6 months. But all she said was diet and exercise will fix this. So we're going to circle back to that. But while I was sitting and waiting for a fucking hour for her to come in, of course, I'm popping on my phone, popping on the Instagram stories. And I'm writing, like, I wrote an Instagram story that was like, I can sit here in this waiting room for an hour and not get stressed that I'm going to get weight shamed or I'm going to get discriminated against for the size of my body for simply existing, because I reside in a straight size body. And that, my friends, is an example of thin privilege. I get treated with more respect from this physician simply for the size of my body. And what I mean by that is, if she would have waltzed in, and if I resided in a larger body and she would have pulled up the numbers and said total cholesterol, LDL elevated, she would have looked at me and said, well, weight loss can fix that, right? And we hear this all the time from clients. Like, this is a very, very normal experience that thousands of our clients have shared with us. And like, I think about how many of my clients, our clients at Find Food Freedom, have decided to forego medical care because they are so sick of the guilt and shame that comes with their medical appointments. They're so sick of being dismissed for going in for knee pain or shortness of breath or fucking flu or COVID and being told, hey, if you lose weight, that would help, or whatever it is. And so I just want to like acknowledge that and bring to the conversation that like diet and exercise can't fix cholesterol. Like, if that, I didn't like the word fix. And again, you know, I don't want to like knock this physician because everyone has tough days. She was clearly overworked, but the fact that she used the word fix, yes, diet and exercise can have an impact on our cholesterol. And there are so many other things that impact it, like postpartum. Stress is a huge one. Genetic predisposition with cholesterol. Like, can we look at what is my father and mother's cholesterol look like, right? Like, there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. Alcohol intake, which, you know, with IVF, two pregnancies back to back, breastfeeding both of my girls for an extended period of time, my alcohol intake the last 4 years is like basically non-existent versus maybe if there's a random, you know, party or social event or something, I'll have a few glasses of something, but I just have no interest in it. So alcohol intake is a big one that, like, again, that didn't get brought up. And maybe she was looping alcohol into diet, but I don't know, because I kind of shut the conversation down. So I bring this up because diet and exercise cannot fix cholesterol. If that were true, then everybody could diet and exercise their cholesterol numbers into normal range. Statins wouldn't exist and nobody would have high cholesterol, right? And so again, impact is different. Like, correlation is different than causation, right? Impact of something is different than being the sole reason something is the way that it is. And so this got me thinking as I wanted to share this on the episode. One, because I think when these things happen, it's just like so easy for me to share my lived experience and parlay it into some of the professional experience and counseling that I want to share with you. And two, to know that you're not alone. And there was like, if I'm being honest, there was definitely like a piece of me that because I am a registered dietitian, because I'm a certified personal trainer, because I am a certified intuitive eating counselor, and I've worked really hard to separate this, but like, there was definitely a piece of me that did feel a bit of shame. And I know that this is something that needs to continue to be worked on. But like, people look at a dietitian and look at a trainer, which is completely wrong, right? This is all the preconceived judgment of society. But thinking like, you should be healthy because you, air quotes, know what to do. And even though I can logically sit here and say like, the cholesterol was not caused, high cholesterol was not caused by my diet or my exercise routine. You still, like, diet culture, still the nails are that fucking deep that like crosses my mind. Now, that's a perfect example too of like, when you do find food freedom and when you do have acceptance with your body, it's not about negative thoughts or like diet culture thoughts not coming up. They'll still come up, like that, for example, that narrative, and I'll kind of see it. It's almost like I see it in my brain and then I'll like grab it and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why is this thought here? This doesn't make fucking sense. This isn't welcome here. And I'll bring awareness to it. I can challenge it and then I just get rid of it because I'm like, that's not helping anyone and that's not the truth. Where is this coming from? Oh, this is coming from the narrative in the past that when you were in your 20s and you were a chronic dieter and you were becoming a dietitian, you thought that your body was your business card and you had to look a certain way or people weren't going to listen to you, blah, blah, blah. So I can get there way quicker than when I was just immersed in diet culture and believed that my body was my business card or my health was my business card, right? So now I want to turn it back to weight stigma real quick and I want to make this explicitly clear because I see this a lot on social media. People that reside in larger bodies absolutely have increased amount of discrimination, oppression, weight shaming done to them simply for existing in their body. And we know this to be true in many different settings, but specifically medical settings is a huge part of this. Okay. And that means that medical professionals, right, will look at a person's body and they will say, or they will make judgments, right, of like, I am making assumptions on your behaviors based on looking at you. And that is, for an example, as a dietitian on the Find Food Freedom team, we service our clients in a health at every size model, which means we deliver fair, unbiased healthcare. And although we work virtually and not in person, and we can only see so much of our clients, like shoulders up, right? We do not make assumptions on our clients' behaviors based on the size of their body. And that is the difference between like weight-centric and weight-inclusive care. That's one of the differences, right? And so that is beyond fucked up. That is wrong. That is weight stigma. That is weight bias, right? Of making assumptions on behaviors based on somebody's body. Now, I will get a lot of DMs, comments. Anytime I talk about this, I will have people that reside in straight size bodies. So what I mean by that, if you're newer to this language, is someone that resides in a body that diet culture, or not even diet culture, just society at large would view as a, air quotes, normal body, a respectable, heavy air quotes, respectable body, right? And I'll use myself as an example. I have thin privilege. I reside in a straight size body. My example today of having high cholesterol, the doctor's not going to look at me and tell me to lose weight because to their eye, I am acceptable. And I'm using such heavy air quotes here. So I get questions all the time from people that reside in straight size bodies and say like, my health was dismissed based on, or like, you know, a medical condition was overlooked because I reside in a straight size body and they thought I was healthy. And that's not okay either. Now, as someone who has experienced this, and I will get into this as well, I agree to a point, right? If you are trying to communicate to a medical professional that you don't feel well, or something doesn't feel right, or this lab value is out of normal range, right? And I want, and I'm and I'm worried about it, and I want to better my health, and I don't feel pleasant physically, mentally, emotionally, and you're expressing that, and you get told like, oh, but everything's fine. That is not discrimination. Okay. That is not oppression for simply existing. That's shit medical care, which unfortunately, because America, if I'm speak, because I don't know Europe and in Canadian medical care, although I do have a lot of colleagues in those, you know, areas, and they state similar things. But if we talk about American health care, and we look at the weight centric care, is this belief system that smaller bodies are good and larger bodies are bad. And so of course you're going to get dismissed if you reside in a smaller body, because in weight-centric care, it's like, you're good. You're small. You're acceptable. But do not get it twisted that being dismissed and being called good is not oppression, is not discrimination, and that is wildly different than my friends and colleagues and amazing people in our online community that are afraid to go to a doctor's office because they are shamed time and time again for the size of their body and for simply existing. So of course I want to, you know, be very clear that it's not okay that you're being dismissed if you reside in a smaller body, but it's not the same thing. And, you know, I'll use myself as an example. This is different than my cholesterol story, but I reside in a straight size body. A doctor will never look at me and say like, you need to lose weight, just because, again, I'm air quotes acceptable by their bullshit BMI standards. And I have multiple autoimmune conditions. I have multiple lab values, not cholesterol related, like autoimmune markers and inflammation markers, that are always, always out of normal range. Always. And I, you know, have other stuff. This could be a whole nother podcast episode if you're interested, that I don't feel pleasant physically. For example, one of them, I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. My TPO antibodies are always through the fucking roof. I have an autoimmune disease that is constantly basically my body attacking itself. So for years, I would tell doctors that I didn't feel well, or before we caught this, right? Because that's not a normal lab value to draw, and like in a CBC panel. But I was dismissed because not only was I thin or acceptable or whatever you want to call it, but I was also studying nutrition, and I had a minor in kinesiology, and then I became a dietitian and a personal trainer. So, oh, she's the marker of health. And I'm here to tell you that just because you reside in a smaller body doesn't mean that health is guaranteed. Just like if you reside in a larger body, that doesn't mean you're unhealthy. And I have thousands of case studies of clients that we've worked with where clients, you know, reside in a larger body, and they have perfect, perfect, perfect blood levels. All, you know, all their numbers came back normal, and a doctor will still look at them and say, well, have you thought about weight loss drugs? Or what are you doing to lose weight? Like, everything looks great. But what are you doing to lose weight? That is not okay. And that is absolutely shit medical care. That is weight stigma. And weight stigma has such negative effects on our health. We know this. We have research to show. So it's not okay. But please understand the difference of like residing in a smaller body and being dismissed. And I'm not saying it's fun, because again, it's happened to me, but it's not discrimination. We're still getting respect from the doctor, and very different from residing in a larger body. Okay. So what I wanted to get at here, and what I wanted to kind of pull this all in, I think a lot of the bulk of this episode is about weight stigma, but I also wanted to kind of wrap in and tie it with a bow with the determinants of health. I'm going to link that URL in the show notes. You can click it, and we could even put a little graphic of it here for a clip. But the determinants of health come out of the World Health Organization, and it takes this research and it shows what actually impacts our health, because diet culture says a smaller body, what you eat, and how you move is health, right? Like, if you subscribe to diet culture, that is what you believe. That is the core of it. And so when we look at the determinants of health, we're looking at it, think of it like a pie chart. If you're listening to this as a podcast, right? So I want you to visualize a pie chart, and I'm going to tell you all of the pieces of the pie. medical care that you receive. So let's take a side note here. So if you're getting shit weight-centric medical care where you're getting shamed with weight stigma, that's going to negatively impact your health. Okay, so medical care that you receive, environment that you grow up in, that you live in, right? Like your physical environment, genetics and biology, which, hello, we cannot change. Social connectedness, which, fun fact, your social connectedness, that encompasses, your social circumstances, right? Which you could also say connectedness because that's like a piece of it, but let's go social circumstances, right? This ties in discrimination. So like we could look at medical care, but we could also look at your social circumstances is going to be discrimination. So those that reside in larger bodies, if you're constantly discriminated against for simply existing, this is going to have terrible outcomes on your health. And then like I've heard from many of our clients, it's going to shoo you away from medical care because why would you want to go to a medical appointment when your knee hurts and they tell you, have you thought about losing weight? Okay, if that were the cure, then people that resided in a smaller body would never have knee pain. Crazy, crazy. And then lastly, our individual behaviors. So individual behaviors make up 36% of this pie chart, which is the largest piece of the pie. And when we look at your diet, aka what you eat, and your movement practices, right? So exercise or how much you move your body, and how you take care of your body from a movement practice, those two pieces make up about, give or take, 9% of the individual behaviors, 36%. So sleep, stress management, like there's other things in the individual behaviors that are even outside of the scope as a dietitian. So please hear me when I say 36% of your health is impacted by your individual behaviors, that's not me saying 36% of your health is impacted by the food you eat and how you move your body. Once we break that down further, it's about 9%. So I highly recommend going to this link in the show notes and looking at the pie chart. And as you kind of toggle over each pieces of the pie, it breaks down much more extensively into like what fits into that pie chart. So this is huge. This is huge. And I think this is where I get so frustrated as a registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor and a certified personal trainer when people say that on our page. We'll get trolls all the time being like, you don't care about health. Actually, we fucking do. We care about health way more than diet culture, because diet culture doesn't care about your health. They just want your money and they want you to subscribe to the idea of shrinking your body, brainwash you, and keep you on this cycle of lose gain until you're seeing that, because again, we know this with the research, you're going to continuously gradually gain throughout the years, hate your body, think there's something wrong with you, and be stuck in this diet culture fucking cycle. Woo! I feel like we got to take a deep breath, or at least I do right now. So, what I'm here to say, let's kind of summarize together. Weight stigma fucking sucks. And I don't want you to feel hopeless walking away from this episode. That's the last thing I want to do. So where do we fit in? You know, as dietitians and as someone who previously caused harm, you know, I used to subscribe to diet culture and be a dietitian, but now, fortunately, I've seen the light. So it's not fair that you have to do this, but I would say it's really, really important. The majority of medical care in our country is rooted in weight stigma, is rooted in weight-centric care. So for me to sit here and say, go find weight-inclusive providers, are there some? Yes, there definitely are. We have directories upon directories with our team at Find Food Freedom that no matter where you live in the U.S., we're going to try to help pair you with a weight-inclusive provider if you're looking for a therapist or an OT or a PT or an OBGYN or a PCP or whatever it is. And that comes with a lot of privilege to say, hey, go find this weight inclusive provider, because you might have a very small list of providers that you're able to meet with within network with your health insurance, right? And so I also think, like, what if they're 50 miles away and they don't take virtual appointments and you can't make that drive, right? Or you don't have a car or whatever it is. So I think it's important to recognize Would I love for everyone listening to be able to meet with weight inclusive providers? Fuck yeah. And there are some amazing weight inclusive providers out there. And if you cannot, for whatever reason, a big part of air quotes doing the work when you're on an intuitive eating, weight inclusive, like, you know, food and body peace journey is learning how to advocate for yourself at a doctor's office. And one of my favorite questions is, you know, for if we go back to my cholesterol piece of this episode, if let's say I resided in a larger body, or let's use a client as an example, because I use this all the time with clients. If a doctor or a medical professional looks at you and says, have you tried losing weight to lower your cholesterol? You can look them dead in the eyes and say, hey, if I was in a smaller body, in a air quotes, normal BMI, as they like to say, what would be your advice then? What would you instruct me to do? And let's see what they come up with. And so that's a way that you can kind of, you can guide the conversation away from the size of your body and intentional weight loss and bring it back to like behaviors or, but chances are if a medical professional is honing in on intentional weight loss right away, you know, they are weight centric and it's fucked up, but we have to learn how to advocate for ourselves. We have to learn how to steer the conversations, because this is the reality of some of the medical care that you're going to receive. And I promise you that not going to medical appointments is not going to better your health, because what if they don't catch a disease or condition that needs to be caught? I'm going to use myself as an example. I am sitting in this chair right now. It fucking hurts. I got an excision, a dermatological excision on a mole that came back irregular, and it had a 10% chance of progressing to melanoma. This has happened to me multiple times. I'm a big advocate of like, go get your skin checks. I have so many clients that don't want to get skin checks because they have to be, you know, you're like naked in the paper mache robe, and it's like a very vulnerable thing. And I understand, because I've sat with so many clients that reside in larger bodies, that like there's a lot of shame, even though a dermatologist fucking hopefully wouldn't be talking about intentional weight loss, because that has nothing to do with your moles, right? Or your freckles or skin. But I understand why you would be reluctant to do that if you feel so much shame for your body and medical care has been triggering to you. So please hear me when I say not going to your medical appointments is not going. It might stop you from getting the shame put on you, and it's not going to benefit your health in the long term. And that's where, like, I can't say this enough. Our team at Find Food Freedom would be so honored if you check your insurance benefits so we can help support you through this. We role play with clients. We talk about scripts. We even write notes for our clients to like hand to like two medical professionals of like, please do not talk about my weight. Like, if you don't feel like you can advocate for yourself, let us do it for you. And so it's so important to get this support. But let's go into this new year recognizing, I'm going to challenge you when you leave this episode, go make the medical appointment that you've been putting off, okay? Whatever it is. And a lot of you have been DMing that you finally met, you know, made an appointment with our team. And maybe that's where we start, right? Maybe we make an appointment with the dietitian and the certified intuitive eating counselor, whether it's on the Find Food Freedom team or anyone else out there that you really love and enjoy, because now you know at least it's a safe space to start with, right? To dip your toes in. But not going to your medical appointments that are necessary is not going to lead to better health outcomes. And it's fucked up that the system that we live in, you have to endure shame or feel guilt about your body because the medical professionals are so deeply rooted in diet culture, the majority. I know this was a heavy episode, and please know that I want to hear from you. So send me a DM with your thoughts on this episode. Please, please, please. I would highly, highly, highly invite you to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It helps more ears get a hold of this podcast, which is so important that this message needs to get out there. And please, when you rate and review it, leave a comment of, you know, what you liked about this episode, what you want to hear more of. The more I hear from you, the more I can tailor the episodes to be helpful for you. And we read these. We read these every week. So the more that we see, the more we can read and take in and really steer the episodes to be supportive for you. So happy January 1st. Happy New Year. And know that like this is the year that you're taking care of you, that you are aligning with your truest self, that you are finding support systems in your life that are actually supportive, that are you're building a team around you. I'm claiming this energy for you as we sign off. I want you to build a team of supportive humans around you. That means loved ones, but specifically I'm talking medical care. We're going to try the best we can to support you in doing that. And again, first step, please get your insurance benefits checked with our team so we can help make this happen for you. I feel like we got to take a deep breath again. So let's take a deep breath before we leave each other today. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I will see you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.